It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Monday morning, everyone. This is Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy on this 11th day of July. Another eventful weekend in the history of this country. More protests in various cities around the country. We had protests in Minneapolis. We had protests in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and in Memphis, Tennessee last night. Black Lives Matter shutting down the I-40 bridge across the Mississippi for 4 hours. No arrests. Much more details coming up on our program this morning on all of these protests and where it's taken us and our president's reaction. But first, I want to take you back. I want to take you back about 8 years. I want to take you back to a presidential candidate, Barack Obama, promising great changes in this country.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And together, we will change this country and we will change the world. We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And together, we will change this country and we will change the world. We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And together, we will change this country and we will change the world.
So there you have it. Our president, Barack Obama, about 8 years ago, 5 days away from Election Day. So we're going to do a little report card this morning. We're going to fundamentally change the country and change the world. So how are we doing? Here we are, about 8 years later in our country. And I would say, is this the country Barack Obama wanted? What we're seeing out there? The tragic death of 5 police officers, 12 others injured last Thursday night in Dallas, Texas. Racial tensions like most of us have not seen in years in this country. I want to bring you up to date on what happened during the weekend. Now, this is after Dallas, where some people thought there might be some calm in the wake of the shooting deaths of those police officers there. But we did not see that. Let's go first to Minneapolis. More than 100 people arrested, 21 police officers injured in Minnesota Saturday night when protests over recent police killings of black men morphed into rioting. St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman detailed at a press conference yesterday what he called an extreme incident, quote, extreme incident Saturday night that led to 102 arrests after protesters pelted police officers with rocks, rebar, and incendiary devices, including Molotov cocktails. The injuries to officers were significant, according to the AP, but none were life-threatening. No kidding, Molotov cocktails. I mentioned just a few moments ago, Memphis, Tennessee, last night, a large number of, again, Black Lives Matter protesters blocking the I-40 bridge that connects basically east and west, heavy truck traffic across that bridge. 4 hours, that bridge was shut down, no traffic whatsoever. And I'm told this morning, not one single arrest. Now, somebody obviously gave the police officers who were present in force the order not to do anything. And then in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there were police were called out. Officers with rifles were blocking the ramps to keep protesters off Interstate 10, downtown Baton Rouge yesterday. and about 130 people taken into custody as marches continue over shootings by police. Reading here from the Associated Press. Governor John Bel Edwards saying he's very proud of Louisiana law enforcement response to protests. One of those arrested in Baton Rouge, DeRay McKesson, identified as a prominent Black Lives Matter activist who embraced supporters Sunday after spending the night in jail. Baton Rouge police spokesman Sergeant Don Coppola blamed some violence and the large number of arrests on outside agitators. One officer lost teeth to a projectile thrown outside police headquarters, and police also confiscated 3 rifles, 3 shotguns, and 2 pistols during that protest. This police spokesman, it appears the protest at Baton Rouge police headquarters have become more violent as out-of-town protesters are arriving. All right, so there you have it. The president's promise for a new America, going to change the country, change the world, and this is where we are, folks, with all of this. Yet, over the weekend, President Barack Obama, on his trip in Europe, stopped to give a little speech in Spain, and he's saying things aren't as bad as a lot of people would have you believe in America. So let's listen to a little bit of that speech.
This has been a tough week. First and foremost for the families who've been killed, but also for the entire American family. As painful as this week has been, I firmly believe that America is not as divided as some have suggested. Americans of all races and all backgrounds are rightly outraged by the inexcusable attacks on police, whether it's in Dallas or any place else. That includes protesters. It includes family members who have grave concerns about police conduct. And they have said that this is unacceptable. There's no division there. And Americans of all races and all backgrounds are also rightly saddened and angered about the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, and about the larger persistent problem of African Americans and Latinos being treated differently in our criminal justice system.
So there you have it, those last words. He's made that declaration. There's no proof of that, of course, out there, but he's made that declaration. Many people are wondering if the president is making those kinds of statements, yet he's wondering why, trying to figure out why there is such tension in this country. Well, let's go back to the point where many people said this all began in Ferguson, Missouri, when a young man, Michael Brown, who tries to wrestle with a police officer, is shot and killed in the midst of all of that. Remember the reaction from the White House? Remember the Justice Department? And eventually, not even an indictment against the police officer because he followed procedures. He followed procedures. Yet the Justice Department treating it totally different. There were stats that came out last week, folks, about police killings. Vast majority of police killings are against actually white people, Hispanic people, and yes, certainly some black people. And again, we want to say that in the case if it's a bad police shooting, give justice time. We remember the reaction in Baltimore. What happened there? Basically, the 6 police officers involved with the death of a young black man there were indicted and convicted by the prosecutor within hours. But as justice has unfolded as it should, not one of those police officers, which included black police officers who were indicted, not one of them has been found guilty, even by a black judge in that case who has said there's not enough evidence to convict these individuals. And yet the president continues to beat that drum, which I believe is helping to incite these Black Lives Matter protests, where, as we just mentioned, in Minnesota on the weekend, police officers injured, 21 police officers injured, Molotov cocktails thrown at them. Now, the president cannot extract himself from the way these protesters, they are being encouraged by his words. I believe he has created, or at least helped create, the tension that we are seeing. Was listening to an opinion piece on Saturday night, Fox program, Judge Jeanine. And I believe she made a pretty good assessment of where we are right now. So let's have a little bit of listen to Judge Jeanine's opinion piece from Saturday night.
Dallas was about anarchy. It was about lawlessness. It was about rhetoric, the rhetoric that too easily inflames those who feel wronged, rhetoric that does nothing but repeatedly stoke the flames and scars of old wounds resolved long ago. And Ferguson's Michael Brown, a thug who tried to grab a cop's gun and got himself shot. There wasn't even a grand jury indictment and not even federal charges against the police officer. But Ferguson was about anarchy, and anyone with a functioning brain would have to assume that for Michael Brown to grab a cop's gun suggests it wasn't his first encounter with the law. Who told Brown that he and not the law should be in control? And yet the Department of Justice and the Attorney General and high-end government officials all rushed to Ferguson, to his funeral as well. And Baltimore, another training ground for anarchists, a perceived wrong. The response based on rhetoric of racial injustice and hate, that should be a violent protest? The response should be the burning of businesses, many owned by African Americans? And a DA who outrageously runs to a microphone and announces an indictment of six cops saying she hears the calls of a lawless mob? And again, all the police painted as racist, yet no convictions. And it was an African American judge who made the calls. And in New York, the chant, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want them? Now. And then two cops innocently eating lunch in their squad car, assassinated not long after.
All right, there you have it. Judge Jeanine's assessment of what's going on. I think a lot of Americans would agree with that. Tomorrow, the president will jet out on Air Force One to Dallas. He's going to be making a speech, we're told, at a memorial service for those brave five police officers who were killed there. You know, he talked, the president did, on that speech in Spain over the weekend. According to the Associated Press, at times he acknowledged, quote, anger and confusion in the public. And at other times, this is from the Associated Press, folks, and at other times he seemed to downplay the enormity of events. He acknowledged anger and confusion. So is that what it is? People don't, in America, really don't understand like he does what's going on. And he just has to educate people. But I found that very interesting, the Associated Press. Other times he seemed to downplay the enormity of events. Well, I don't think Americans find this a normal time. And we haven't even talked about the domestic terrorism attacks that have occurred on Obama's watch. Haven't even talked about that. Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Orlando, Florida, in California. We haven't even talked about that. And yet he says, you know, people are angry and they're confused. No, people know what's going on. They're hoping for a leader who is going to really lead this country. But sadly, according to his record, we're not going to see that. We're going to see more ramping up of protests. And the question is, how is the country going to respond? Because Hillary Clinton, who wants to be the next president of the United States, she thinks Obama's doing a great job. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Much more ahead when we come back.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right. It was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually. who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
Down deep, everyone has a thirst for justice. It's a view of moral rightness based on fairness and values. But who decides what's right and fair? It's a hotly debated subject that's been associated with fate, reincarnation, or even a cosmic plan for life. There are countless examples of injustice in our world today. Many are crying out for justice in the midst of observing human suffering. Sometimes we are so enraged by what we see happening, we want to take justice into our own hands. We want vengeance, but retribution has to be left up to the Lord. He's a God of justice and will one day right all wrongs. We can't ignore the injustice in our world. As followers of Jesus, we have to do everything we can, with God's help, to seek justice for those who cannot do it for themselves.
For real answers to real issues, log on to Steve's website, www.realanswers.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. How would you like to finish your degree online? Truett McConnell University makes that possible with their top-notch online program. You can even earn a master's in theology. For 70 years, Truett McConnell University has been preparing students to fulfill God's high calling on their lives, on campus or online. A degree that can not only change your life, but also your workplace. Truett.edu is the website. That's Truett.edu. It feels like our nation has been sucker punched. You can see it on people's faces: sorrow, frustration, anger, helplessness. It's as if the rule of law has unraveled, our civil society now uncivil. There's no doubt our nation is broken. We are like a drifting boat without a compass. The land of the free has lost her way. Our elected leaders try to explain away the horrors that afflict our towns and cities, blaming the economy, racial injustice, intolerance, even religion. And yet what ails the United States cannot be cured in the state house. It can only be cured in the church house. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Our values have been turned upside down. And the only way to fix what is wrong is to turn from our wicked ways. Only then can we become, once again, one nation under God. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning on this Monday. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Hey, I don't want to go any further in the program without soliciting your prayers this morning for the governor of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott. Just found out about this last night. You may not have heard that last Thursday, while the governor and his family were vacationing in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, he suffered some severe burns to both of his legs, second and third degree burns on both of his legs. And the story in the AP says he may not make the Republican National Convention, which opens up a week from today. But the story goes on to talk about he received some treatment there in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and then flew back to Dallas after finding out about the shooting there Thursday night of these five police officers and the wounding of 12 others. His first words, according to his spokesman, when he found out about the shooting, remember, he's still up, he's in a hospital up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. His first words, "I've got to get back there." He then held a press conference, the governor, Governor Abbott did, on Friday, but refused to talk about his own injuries. Hirsch said, the spokesman, Hirsch said that his legs, the governor's legs, were wrapped at the time, but that wasn't evidence since they were covered by his pants. The only hint anything was wrong, Hirsch said, was the governor was wearing orthopedic shoes that his staff had purchased for him that morning. The governor's communications team has been working on a statement detailing the burning Thursday, but abandoned it in the aftermath of the mass shooting. Instead, Abbott released statements about the attack late Thursday night and early Friday morning, as well as an open letter to Texans urging unity in the face of tragedy. His spokesman Hirsch says, for him, it was important not to distract from what was happening in Dallas. Congratulations, Texas. You got a real leader there, a real leader. And would ask for your prayers for Governor Abbott for a quick recovery. As you may or may not be aware, the governor basically has been in a wheelchair since 1984. He was out jogging and was paralyzed when a tree fell on him. And he's a terrific leader. And so just very unselfish, as you see from this story. So be praying for him. But as I say, congratulations, Texas. You've got yourself a real statesman. And you ought to be very proud of Governor Abbott. And again, prayers for him all across the country today for Governor Abbott. All right, I want to bring into the program right now a guy I think most people on American Family Radio are very familiar with, Dr. Alex McFarland, religion and culture expert, national talk show host, certainly, right here on Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, speaker and author, and the list goes on and on. Dr. Alex McFarland, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're coming to us from North Carolina?
I'm in North Carolina, home turf this morning, yes.
Home turf. I know you travel and travel and travel and travel. I just wondered, you know, I hope you're getting some frequent flyer points out of all of this.
You know, I'm very blessed. I'm able every now and then to donate frequent flyer points to people that need to go places and get surgery or something like that. So I guess that is one perk of being a traveling evangelist. We do accrue a lot of those miles and points.
Yeah. I want to get your reaction to what's happening in the country. You know, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions. What's yours? Because you travel so much, you speak to a lot of young people out there. You speak to in a lot of churches. What are you hearing with regards to the tension and that is just rising in this country for a lot of different reasons?
Well, I'm grieved. I'm grieved on so many levels. Grieved for people that have lost loved ones. What I'm most concerned about, Fred, is watching our country unravel. As a person that has traveled to five continents, much of the world, I know even on her worst day, America is still the greatest place in the world to live. It still is the land of opportunity. It still is the place that if you're willing to work hard and live right and say your prayers, you can achieve virtually anything you want to achieve. And I'm living proof of that. But, you know, I'm grieved on so many levels and frankly concerned because what makes this different than a lot of generations, and, you know, I remember as a kid the race riots in the late 60s, early 70s in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina. Greensboro was where the sit-ins were very famously at the Woolworth lunch counter. There were sit-ins and the lunch counters were integrated. Not far from that, Woolworth is an historically black university, North Carolina A&T, very fine engineering school, very fine university, and also a black Methodist college called Bennett College. I've spoken at both of these universities, but Greensboro, North Carolina was a very racially charged town for a while, and there were curfews, and I remember as a kid hearing the gunfire and the riots of the late 60s, and thankfully, by God's grace, that got subdued. But, you know, what's different about 2016 is that many of our leaders, not all, like the great governor of Texas, clearly is a true leader and a clear-thinking man and a courageous governor. But a lot of leaders nowadays don't have the moral compass that leaders of previous generations had. And I fear rather than working for the good of the nation, some people frankly, like our president, frankly, like I believe Hillary Clinton, are going to try to leverage all this for political gain and for ideological gain to disarm law-abiding citizens, to further grow government and further move us down the slope toward a police state. And it's just, it really, if you love God and country, it should be a cause for great prayer nowadays, really.
What's the reaction? As I mentioned, you speak at a lot of churches across the country. In where you've spoken recently, what kind of reaction are you getting to this message of yours?
Well, you know, 99% of people agree that, you know, for the record, we don't want any innocent people to have their rights infringed upon. We don't want any people to die. You know, there's all the protest of Black Lives Matter. Let me say all lives matter. All lives matter. Of course, Black Lives Matter, but the lives of police officers matter. The lives of the unborn matter. But yesterday, even, Fred, a woman got up in my face at a church where I'd spoken, and all I did, the most innocuous thing, I said we should pray for the families of the police officers, 5 dead and 11 wounded, and let's pray for their families, the bereaved families. And a lady came up at me, just up in my face, saying, do you deny that there's a war on blacks? And I said, well, actually, yes, I do deny that there's a war on blacks. I said, I know many, many law enforcement officers. I've spoken for the North Carolina Sheriff's Association in regard to issues related to Islam, and spoken in 27 maximum security prisons around America. And I know a little bit about law enforcement and the great women and men that are in it. I know about the people that put on that uniform and for minimal compensation lay their lives on the line every day. And in fact, at this very same church event, a couple of people had come up who were members of this church who were law enforcement officers. And, you know, when you can be called on the carpet merely for saying, let's pray for law enforcement officers and their families, it's a very polarized environment indeed.
Mm. You were one of the individuals, I believe, who met with Donald Trump back a few weeks ago in New York. Is that correct?
Well, I was there. I didn't get to the small powwow of about a dozen people like James Dobson and David Jeremiah. But yeah, I've been to a couple of meetings where he was there. Yes.
Yeah. If you were to advise Donald Trump on how do you go about healing the country right now, honestly, because that's what I think a lot of Americans are looking for. You and I both know at the very basis of this is spiritual warfare that's going on in the country. So how do you go about it? I mean, can one man, whether it's Republican or Democrat, one woman, can they do it? What's it going to take to begin the healing in this country?
God bless you. Thank you. That's a profound question. Well, for one thing, whoever our commander in chief is needs to understand that our strength as America had been our commonly held moral convictions. And I'm going to say this, the Ten Commandments. Now, invoking the Ten Commandments does not violate the First Amendment because civility and ceremony are two different things, and our founders knew that. The First Amendment says the government is not going to get in our church and tell us how to do religion. However, to invoke the fact that there is a moral code that we are accountable to, and there's a God who is the giver of that moral law, the frieze of Moses in the roofline of the Supreme Court shows, and ample quotes from our founding fathers show, that they built this nation with God in view. So what I would say to Donald Trump or any aspiring commander-in-chief who wants to be a statesman, not a politician, I would say, look, encourage people to pray for this nation. Say that if we don't become one nation under God, we're going to become one nation gone under. That's what Reagan said. And so remember that we need to live morally, and we'll give an account to God for how we live, and we need to pray for this nation. And I think the people are hungry for it. Fred, I speak in front of, 150,000, 200,000 young people a year. They are craving adults that have conviction. I mean, there really are. Young people are looking for grown-ups that have convictions, that know their convictions, and are willing to live by their convictions. And so much of our leadership nowadays, and yes, I believe this has been the president and many of his administration, are more about expediency, what is politically beneficial rather than what is right. I mean, look at how the American people, there's been an attempt to sell us transgenderism and to go against the things that Jefferson would call natural law or self-evident truth. And there's so much about just political expediency and political correctness and this enforced pluralism rather than leadership by what is the rule of law and what is morally right. And so we need a leader who is confident and calm, but courageous and clear in their moral convictions.
Talking with Dr. Alex McFarland, author and host, co-host of Exploring the Word here at American Family Radio. We only got a couple of minutes left. I was listening to a sermon yesterday from Dr. David Jeremiah, and he too was addressing the situation in our country right now and lamenting on where we are, the troubles. In the United States of America. And he says he's studied revivals, going, you know, revivals in Europe, revivals that have occurred in this country in the past. And he said the revivals do not occur without an acknowledgement that the sovereign God, who is sovereign over all, that we must preach, preachers must get back to preaching about there is a justice, there is a penalty to pay for sin. And that is what really acts as a catalyst to begin a revival. Your comments on that?
Well, you know, great challenge and great problem does represent great opportunity. And it was our privilege to be with Dr. Jeremiah a week ago, and he preached just one of the most amazing sermons I've ever heard on the July 4th weekend. And we do need to pray for revival. We do need to really seek revival. And, you know, we need leaders, back to the previous question, though, we need leaders who love America. What a novel idea to actually love and affirm this nation. Because, you know, Fred, we've got a generation of young people that have never, they've never been under educators nor elected officials who loved America. I mean, so many people apologize for America. So many people want to make this Europe. But no, we need to stand up for the fact that this, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but what I say to the secularists, the atheists, look, if you don't want to be a God-fearing Christian, okay, but don't tear down the America that gives you the freedom to safely walk around as a non-Christian. If you want to be an atheist, you can be an atheist, but you have to tolerate what gave us the greatest, safest, most prosperous nation on the planet, and that was a moral code. And so we need to have some people who say, look, this is our nation. Let's not destroy it. Let's thank God for it. Those of us within the church, especially my fellow pastors and my fellow clergy, lead your people to intercede. Let's humble ourselves. Let's confess our sins. Let's turn to God. Let's pray for a revival because He can send it and we certainly need it.
Amen. Dr. Alex McFarland, where can people learn more about your points of view and get some of the many books that you've written, that sort of thing?
Just my name, alexmcfarland.com. Mm-hmm. Call me. I want to come to your city. I'll debate your atheist, and we'll have a good time, and we'll preach the gospel to your community.
And I can concur with that, Dr. Alex McFarland. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Fred.
All right, take care. Time now for you to respond to what we've been talking about this morning. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Your response to the ongoing, people would call them riots, anarchy, as we heard just a few moments ago, going on across this country. And the president, with his current attitude, is that going to make a difference? 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Back in a few moments.
What's at stake in this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
As a group, millennials have more than $1 trillion in purchasing power, so you know businesses are watching us. By 2025, we'll comprise 75% of the workforce, so employers are watching us. Despite these positives, millennials are losing our faith, so we know Satan is watching us. Engage Magazine is for millennials by millennials, and it speaks to faith, purpose, and a closer walk with Jesus. Because above all, God is watching us. Visit EngageMagazine.net and listen Saturday afternoons at 5:30 Central on AFR.
Next time on Today's Issues, it's Miracle Monday.
I'm talking about something that can only be explained by the supernatural hand of God.
A few months ago, we had a lady put on our prayer chain with stage 4 cancer throughout her whole abdomen. And when she went back in 3 months for her recheck, there was absolutely no sign of cancer.
Wow. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at afr.net.
People should go to the bathroom where they want to go to the bathroom.
And ISIS is not on the run, it's on the rise.
We are expressing to justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case.
The signs of America's cultural decay are everywhere. We desperately need a revival-driven change to restore spiritual and political wisdom. With your help, the American Family Association is making a difference. AFR stations have launched or are launching in 8 more cities with the potential to reach 2.5 million new listeners. A second project is the feature-length documentary, The God Who Speaks, Reaffirming Biblical Authority. The American Family Studios project is currently in production. AFA has already spent over $500,000 on these projects. Your gift toward offsetting costs means the voice of Christian America will be expanded.
This man was not on a watch list.
Goodbye, First Amendment.
The nation in trouble.
Pray today and be listening Tuesday, July 12th for more information, because America cannot wait.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Thanks in large measure to Barack Obama's appalling legacy, the next president is going to inherit a world of hurt. To understand the various threats we will be facing and what steps might mitigate them will require access to highly classified intelligence. Once the major political parties select their presidential nominees, the candidates have traditionally been given such access. Never before, however, has the FBI determined that one of those nominees has been, quote, extremely careless, unquote, with classified information. After serially lying about her misconduct in this regard for months, Hillary Clinton has adopted the line that it was a mistake to use an unprotected homebrew server for all of her official emails and promises she won't do it again. No one else in America, with her record of what amounts to criminally gross negligence, would be given the chance. Hillary shouldn't either. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Monday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Just to review, in case you missed the top of the program, Black Lives Matter continuing their massive riots, protests, various cities around the country during the weekend. Probably the worst was in Minneapolis. There, 100 people arrested, 21 police officers injured. The mayor of St. Paul, Chris Coleman, telling the Associated Press, extreme incident Saturday night that led to 102 arrests after protesters pelted police officers with rocks, rebar, and incendiary devices, including Molotov cocktails. The injuries to officers were significant, but none were life-threatening, he said. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 130 people taken into custody after a riot there, attempts to block Interstate 10, multiple arrests. And then in Memphis last night, Memphis, Tennessee, Black Lives Matter shutting down the I-40 bridge across the Mississippi there for 4 hours. No arrests. No arrests. By the way, in that Baton Rouge incident, more than 100 people arrested there. One of those arrested, DeRay McKesson, prominent Black Lives Matter activist who is not from the area. In fact, a police spokesman in Baton Rouge, probably a total of at least 18 of those arrested were out of state Black Lives Matter protesters. To all of this, the president acknowledging some anger and confusion in the public over what's going on. Be interesting to see what he has to say when he goes to Dallas tomorrow for a speech. He's going to give a speech there over the weekend in Spain before he returned to the United States. Basically saying, and we actually played this a little bit earlier in the program, things aren't quite as bad as some people think in America. I would say most Americans would disagree with that assessment, Mr. President. All right, let's go to our phones to get your assessment of what is happening in our country. Bobby in Arkansas, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I've been following all this real close for years. It just seems to me in my heart that we're lacking real good, godly leadership in this country, that somebody that would, you know, follow the principles of what Jesus laid down for us. And we've just, we've really been lacking somebody that's in, it looks like we have by the way, I want to say something. You know who I would just let you so happy that somebody like a Michelle Bachmann, now she's a real patriot, somebody like that, and Ted Cruz, somebody that knows the Bible, because that's what we're lacking. We've gotten away from the Bible and the one and only true God, and we're paying for it now. And it's in my 4 more years of this, and I really believe that God has told me if we have 4 more years of this, we're gonna leave this country, and we need. Well, it's like we have a cheerleader for the opposite side that is promoting this stuff in all kinds of ways. And we need just to stop. Listen, he's going to Dallas, and I hope he's going to Dallas to bring this country together and not to go down there and talk about all this stuff that's going to just stoke the flames. We've got to stop this. We're going to lose this country if we don't, and that's all I've got to say.
All right, Bobby.
I love this country.
Appreciate it, Bobby, and we appreciate your patriotism. And a lot of people would agree with Bobby this morning. Maybe one of them is Jason in Texas. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning. Go ahead, Jason.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing this morning? Listen, I just want to give a few comments. I just want to tell America, we need to wake up. The thing is that we're turning our backs on our Creator. We're putting more faith in the creation than the Creator. And this is what's happening. We are grasping the straws. We're trying to find the solution in the dark tunnel. And so, you know, the politicians, they feed us all kinds of things. They tell us this, they tell us that. And we're seeing where this is going. So we need to wake up. And I need to tell people, go to church, talk to your pastor, and let the pastor grow backbones. Preach what is right. Preach what is the truth. That way, if you offend somebody, just say, I'm not telling you, you know, I'm trying to offend you, but I'm trying to tell you the truth. Because like I said, we're just grasping the straws. Mm-hmm. I mean, this happened way back when Madeline Maury O'Hara took prayer out of school.
Yeah.
And people begin to lose faith. And then we begin to put all this stuff in and tell our young people, oh, it's okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. But yet we're shaking our hands at God and saying, we don't need you and we don't want you. Remember, people, this country was given to us by the hand of God. Mm-hmm. It took several brave men who sat down and wrote articles and gave us the rights. And yet, little by little, we're seeing that our rights are being taken away. And we need to wake up. That's all I got to say. You have a good day.
All right, Jason, we appreciate that. Let's go to Alabama right now and speak to Lisa. Lisa, good morning and welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
First of all, I want to say, yay to Boykin. He is a true soldier of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing I want to say is, Alex McFarlane truly needs to quit saying, I fear.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that is speaking in a on a Christian radio station or in churches or anything should never use the term, I fear. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think we ought to fear God, and we ought to fear the repercussions, the nation should, of rebelling against God, because history has shown what happens when a nation does rebel against God. And that's a point many people like Alex make. There is history to show when a nation turns. Look at Europe. Look at what's happening in Europe right now. Countries like Germany, like France, like England have turned their backs on God. And look at the problems that they are having in those countries. You know, the verse about sowing and reaping comes to mind. God is patient, but as we've said before, he is patient, but he is not tolerant. And there comes a point where people reap what they have sown, when there is rebellion, an open rebellion against God, as we are seeing, yes, here in America right now, we see the results of that. Back to Texas and Janet, welcome. Go ahead, Janet.
Yes, I want to thank y'all for presenting the real truth about what's going on, actual news, accurate news. And but I just want to say, let's pray for our governor in Texas, all of us Texans and across our nation. Pray for healing for Governor Greg Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
He is a statesman. He is a man that prays, and we need more men and leaders that pray to the Lord God Almighty for guidance and direction, and praying for wisdom as to how to deal with every situation. And so we need more men, more leaders in our nation that look to the Lord God, as our founding fathers did, for guidance and direction. And we need men and women all over this nation praying to the Lord God for guidance and direction in our lives, our families, our marriages, and for every step that we need to take in prayer for the ending. I pray the Lord will bring an end to all of the out-of-orderness and open the blinded eyes, hearts, minds, and emotions of people all over this nation. And I pray that many souls will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord even today. Because the men and women that are stirring up problems, and deep in the depths of their heart, they are truly wanting peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that peace only comes from inviting Jesus Christ into your heart and life to take away your sin, to give you life eternal.
Amen, Janet. We appreciate that so much. We thank you for your prayers for Governor Abbott. In case you did not hear, we are just learning really last night and this morning that Governor Abbott, during a family vacation last week, Thursday, in Wyoming, suffered second and third degree burns to his legs. But the man did not say anything. He flew immediately back upon learning about the shootings of the police officers in Dallas on Thursday night. He flew back to Dallas, gave a news conference, did not say anything about those injuries. Can you imagine suffering second and third degree burns to his legs, did not want to distract from what happened to those police officers. That's the kind of man Governor Abbott is, and we do want to remember him in prayer. To North Carolina now, Anne, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. I think our president and the media continually tries to divide the races instead of uniting America. I don't understand why in America we call white Americans, black Americans, Hispanic Americans. We're all Americans, and we are one race under God, the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our own communities, I think we can reach out to each other and do as the Bible says, show love to one another.
Yeah, and that is the truth. And what happens, though, is that what divides many times and most times is where people are spiritually in their lives. And we do serve one God, and the God of the Bible does not differentiate between the people of colors of skin. He does not. There is not one commandment for white people or for black people or for brown people, whatever color that you want. God's laws apply to all. And that's the beauty of it. And if people would surrender, regardless of their skin color, would surrender to the sovereignty of God, to the authority of the God of the Bible, then I think you're exactly right, Anne, that is the solution. But we have an America right now that is not willing to do that, at least on a large scale that would really make a difference. All right, to Toby in Arkansas. Go ahead, Toby.
Hello, Fred. Just want to remind everybody that Jesus told his disciples after the resurrection, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." We need a church that is revived. We, the church, are the only ones that have an answer to bringing unity and peace to this country now. Our current problems are well beyond a political solution. Not saying that we don't need to be involved in politics. We definitely do, but we are facing, behind every problem we see is a power, a principality of darkness. And Jesus says we have the power to bind these powers of darkness that are inciting these riots. That's not to say that we're not going to go through some times of trouble ahead. We will. We're here because, just like one previous caller said, Madeline Murray O'Hara and a few justices got prayer and the Bible kicked out of school. Nature hates a vacuum. And so every graduating class from that day to this has been educated in a pagan socialistic classroom. And the church has been silent for the most part. I am calling the church. You are calling the church. Every leader ordained of God is calling the church to repent of our lethargy and indifference and get engaged in this fight, or our children will be suffering greatly in the days ahead. Fred, God bless you for everything that you do.
Well, Toby, thank you very much for that. And heard a number of callers there this morning, and I can't but agree with them, as we've talked about, talking with our guest, Dr. Alex McFarlane. This really is a spiritual problem that crosses all racial lines. And America has to come to that point. And once again, it's about praying for that kind of revival. But revival begins with repentance. As you've often heard here at American Family Radio, that's where it begins. But it also it requires engagement. Listening to a message from Dr. Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas back a few weeks ago, we are called upon to be salt and light. And that does involve getting involved in the political realm and speaking up. I've heard from church members sometimes where they have pastors who say, no, we're going to stay out of this. We don't want to get involved with politics. Well, Jesus was involved with politics. He spoke out against the issues of the day. And that's what we're here to do, folks, to be that salt and light. But filter everything through the truth of Scripture. Amen. That's where we have to be. We have to love our enemies. We must love our enemies. We must pray for our political leaders, even the ones that we disagree with. We must pray for them because it is God, it's the Holy Spirit that can get through to them. Many times by raising voices, you know, we cross by each other by sometimes screaming at each other. That's not the solution either. We need to pray for them and be that witness, be that consistent witness that we need to be in this age that rejects absolute truth. But Scripture is about absolute truth. It's been a blessing to be with you today. Pray you'll have a great day. Stay tuned to American Family Radio for much more great programming. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.